God's mind, there is no dichotomy between the spiritual and the physical. Everything is meant to be offered to Him.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about how to get untangled. Yesterday, I described an ordered home. The title of my talk was Five Kids and Peace, and I told about a visit to a home where there were five children. I think the oldest was 16, the youngest was about 7 or 8, and it was very peaceful and very ordered, and things seemed to run on oiled wheels. Recently, I had a letter from a lady who was the mother of three boys and the wife of a doctor, and she said that she enjoys the program very much, but in large letters in the middle of the first page, she says, "I am frantic. Please help me." When my youngest entered first grade, I hoped I could get more together with my thoughts and emotions. For years, 5 o'clock in the morning was my quiet and devotional time, for it was the only uninterrupted time I had. Often my mind was bleary, but devotions were meaningful, sometimes more than others. Now I've found I am clearer and can communicate with God more around 9 or 10 a.m., but by the time I get home from school, it's 9 a.m. and hard to get started again. It seems I need so much solitude, I can't get enough, and I hunger to study God's Word and pray. But I know He expects me to joyfully do these homemaking tasks, too. Well, I can't get unmuddled. Further on down, she says, "Can you give me help on devotions and homemaking approach? If I do them later, I run out of time. If I study, I don't get to the home duties except dishes and laundry. I can't exercise regularly. I can't pray with my husband or do personal things. I can't get untangled. I stay tired. Please reply soon." Well, that poor lady. My heart went out to her, and so did Jan's. And I need to explain here that Jan Anderson is the one who takes care of the letters. And if we get as many as 500 letters in a month, you can understand that it would be quite impossible for either Jan or me to do all of them. And so Jan answered this letter for me. She does a good job, and this was the gist of her reply. Jan suggested that she use the 20-minute car trip home from school to pray. Then she said, "Finish one job at a time before going on to the next one." That's really good advice. If you're like me and you have 16 different things to do at once, it's a temptation to do a little bit of one thing and then go and do a little bit of another thing. That's not the way to get through things. Finish one job at a time. She reminded this dear lady that her calling is to be a wife and a mother, and that she need not separate what she calls the spiritual activities from the secular. The laundry and the dishes, some might think of as secular work. God thinks of them as spiritual work if they are offered to Him. I keep talking about offering up every experience. I would urge you to offer up every task to Jesus, and even the tasks which seem odious and distasteful can be gateways to joy. One thing that I am sure of is that it does help to make lists. And by all means, put on the list time for quiet. If you don't schedule it, it probably isn't going to happen. You've got to exercise discipline in keeping to a schedule. But if you have it down on paper, then you can at least aim at that. When there are emergencies and interruptions from the children that cannot be avoided, Remember that God knows all about that. But God is not the author of confusion. How many of us feel a bit bleary when we get up in the morning to have quiet time? I always drink 2 glasses of water before I go into my study and sit down with my Bible and try to do my praying. I feel kind of bleary too, but it does help to get up and move around a little bit. Maybe it would help some of you to get dressed, maybe empty the dishwasher, make some coffee. Then, if you don't get all the time that you want for your quiet time, remember that you can peel potatoes and pray, or iron and pray. I would hope that at least sometime during the day you can get alone again and just kneel, maybe even for a minute or two, and open your hands and offer your confusion up to the Lord. Ask Him for help. Then receive it in your open hands, and then wait quietly. A good way to conduct a quiet time is to find a place to be by yourself, and I think it helps to kneel, just because kneeling is not a very comfortable position and you're not so likely to go to sleep. Sit down and read. Read a short passage in the Bible if you only have a short time, and think about it. I think it's better to read 2 verses and let them sink deeply into your heart than it is to try to race through 2 chapters just in order to be able to tell yourself that you read 2 chapters. If you've never had a quiet time, I would suggest that you start with one of the Gospels. The shortest one is Mark. Try reading the Gospel of Mark. Notice how Jesus lived and moved among people. Notice His serenity. The very first chapter of Mark has quite a lot of activity in it, and yet there's something serene about the way Jesus moves from one person to another, from one task to another, from one place to another. There's no hurry or flurry or bustle or frustration or discontent. Make your list for the day in God's presence. That helps me. I always have a little pad of paper with me next to my Bible, and I write things down while I'm praying, for one thing, so that I can be finished with them and not keep thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm going to remember that. I put it right down on a piece of paper. I don't think God minds that kind of an interruption. After you've listed everything that you know needs to be done, then list them according to priority. In other words, rearrange your list. Do the first thing that needs to be done. Put the first thing first and do the first thing first. Work out a plan to get your house straightened up. Which room is the worst? Is it the utility room? Does everything sort of get junked into the utility room and there's no rhyme nor reason to what's there? Well, start on that. Take out everything that doesn't belong in the utility room and put it where it does belong. Clean up the top of the washing machine and the dryer. Try to get down in the cracks between them and behind them. Is it the garage that needs to be cleaned? Well, the garage is pretty big. You probably can't clean that in one day. But take one side of the garage. Straighten up the tools or straighten up the shelves. If you haven't got time for that, take 1 shelf per day. Can you do that in 10 minutes? I would hope so. How about that top dresser drawer? That place where you have all that messy makeup. Makeup that you don't use anymore. Throw it away. Hairbrushes? Clean them out. Put them to soak in some ammonia. Dirty powder puffs? Wash them. Tackle one thing that you're sure you can finish. Today, the day that I prepared this talk, I dumped out my plastic makeup tray. That little plastic tray with the compartments in it, and I put the thing in the dishwasher. Got rid of all the stuff in it that was no good anymore. This is one way of practicing the presence of God in your work. I can hear somebody out there saying, come on, do you mean to tell me that God cares what the top drawer of your dresser looks like? Yes, I mean to tell you that. I really believe that God is interested in the little things in our lives, because if we're not ordered in the little things, if you don't have the bobby pins in one section of the tray, it might just be an indication that you're not ordered in some much more important things. than bobby pins. Those 3 or 4 hours alone that this lady who wrote the letter told us she had, not very many of you have 3 or 4 hours alone, do you? She said she had 3 or 4 hours alone 3 days a week. She wanted to do work specifically for the Lord. Maybe she's forgetting that when you work for others, you can be offering that as a task for the Lord, too. Your family comes first. And what you do for your family, you can do for the Lord, because he said, remember, inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it unto me. Teach your children what order means by taking a Saturday morning to help them organize their drawers, their closets, their toys. Get them to appreciate the relief that it is to find things. The rule should be a place for everything and everything in its place. That's not easy, especially if you have cramped quarters. That may mean that you need to throw out some things. And part of bringing order into our lives is getting rid of the extraneous things, isn't it? Spiritually, as well as physically. In God's mind, there is no dichotomy between the spiritual and the physical. Everything is meant to be offered to Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.